Welcome to the Health Ranger Report on Brighteon.tv. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Got a special treat for you for the next several weeks. In fact, going to be outlining a new audiobook. In fact, recording it for you here. This audiobook is called Resilient Prepping. And it's about prepping with multiple layers of resilience for multiple reasons to have this redundancy as society is collapsing and the governments of the world are declaring war on their own people. This book is going to be several hours long. It's going to be available as a free audio download with a PDF transcript. All of that is coming, but I'm going to be presenting it here, which will become the transcript. So for the next 3 to 4 weeks, every episode here, except emergencies, will be on this topic. So stay with me. We'll be right back and begin the book. All right. Welcome back. This is Mike Adams, of course, Health Ranger Report. And we're going to get into the book today. This is Resilient Prepping. Now, this book gives you kind of a blueprint for how to prepare for what's coming on multiple layers and levels so that as this engineered collapse of society kicks in, you will be able to maintain your individual liberty, your health, your food supply, your security, and also then rebuild America. That's coming. That's the end game here, or the end goal. The end game of the globalists is to destroy America, but the end goal of those of us who are Americans is to rebuild America. And we are, as Dr. Peter Bregan calls us, the refounders of America. We are indeed the refounders, and that means we've got to survive. So for the next several weeks, I'm going to be presenting here for transcription this new audiobook. I've got all the notes here. It's called Resilient Prepping. And that's going to be the website at some point when it's all ready for downloading, resilientprepping.com, not yet available, but it will be. This book is the newest book of already 3 existing audiobooks that you can download for free at audiobooks.naturalnews.com. And I'd like to encourage you to do that. You can download the MP3 files right now today, again, for free. You can also download the printable PDF transcript of the entire audiobook for each of these. And the 3 books available now are Survival Nutrition, which is a real reader favorite. They love it. It talks about how to use foods and superfoods and nutrients to save your life during a collapse scenario like what we're experiencing. I've also got the Global Reset Survival Guide, which focuses on a lot of the financial aspects of surviving what's being engineered for us. That's a great book. And then The Contagious Mind, which it presents the fabric of the cosmos that allows those of us who have consciousness and free will to broadcast and receive information from other conscious beings. And that's a really important book. Also, again, downloadable. It explains things that are part of the revolution of awakening and mass consciousness and what's coming. So you can check out, you can download all 3 of those books at audiobooks.naturalnews.com. Now, getting started with Resilient Prepping, I will be referring to my notes quite a bit. I might be looking down at the page here quite a bit. You know, don't worry about it. This is one of those rare cases where I actually have an extensive amount of notes and information to go through. And this is only a partial list of what we're going to cover. So with that in mind, let me actually present to you kind of the overview of what this book is about, why it matters to you, and what you're going to learn from this book. And again, if you're watching this on Brighteon.tv, you'll be getting this before it's made into an audiobook. So you'll be getting this really ahead of everyone else as we're recording it and releasing it almost on a day-by-day basis. So Resilient Prepping is, we look at the challenges of the kind of collapse that's being engineered right now, which is a collapse of human resources, a collapse of the supply lines, a collapse of the food supply, the financial system, and much more. And what it requires in order to survive this is to be able to bridge down to lower and lower levels of technology with your own preparedness plans. So we're going to talk about high-tech preparedness versus low-tech versus no-tech. And no-tech means that virtually no technology is required for that level of preparedness. It's like sprouting seeds in a jar or planting potatoes in the dirt, you know, things like that. Or sewing, stitching clothing repair with a needle and thread. That's a no-tech solution. Whereas a high-tech solution would be ordering a replacement pair of jeans that's made by a computer-controlled stitching machine and then purchased through an e-commerce site and delivered through a logistics network and so on. All that is going to collapse. So we have to work on low-tech and no-tech solutions. Low-tech might be solutions, the kinds of things that were available in the 1940s through the 1970s. And then no-tech solutions might be more 19th century type of solutions, an agrarian society. But we're going to need these types of preparedness in order to make it through what's coming. So let me give you an overview of what we have, and just in terms of the chapters, the table of contents of what we're going to go through. So chapter one is the introduction, why we need resilient prepping. Chapter two is the structure of societal collapse, what this collapse actually looks like, what signs we can expect to see, the milestones of the collapse as it's happening, because we're already in it, by the way. There's just a lot more coming. It's going to get a lot worse. Chapter three is the collapse timeline. What happens when basic food supplies are no longer available, for example? Or what happens when electricity goes down or spare parts for vehicles are no longer available? We're going to look at the actual timeline of starvation, of violence, of the collapse of the rule of law, and all of these things. And you're going to learn a lot in that chapter. Chapter four is understanding money and finance as the collapse unfolds. So we're going to look at the freezing of the banking system, the collapse of fiat currencies, and then the restoration of local barter and trade systems that will be necessary to stay alive at the local level. Oh, and by the way, these chapters might change in the final transcription of the book, so don't hold me to these chapter numbers. That's just what I have for now. Chapter five covers the mass migration of survivors as this collapse takes place, because this engineered collapse will make certain areas of the country completely uninhabitable, including areas like Los Angeles, for example. As that happens, you're going to see mass death in those areas and then migration of survivors out of those areas. A lot of people will die in the deserts trying to get out. People are going to have to escape the drought, the lawlessness, the chaos, perhaps the communist invasion that is happening in those areas, and so on. In the end, survivors will be migrating to more sustainable parts of the country where you have water, soil, where you can grow food, where you might have the restoration of the power grid and things like that. So that's all chapter five. Chapter six, this is an important look at power. And I'm not talking about political power. I'm talking about like horsepower, power grid, and alternative sources of power. It's about understanding the power dynamics during it transitioning to a low-tech society. So in a high-tech society, power comes from power plants and fossil fuels, and maybe solar, maybe wind in some cases, but it's still largely fossil fuels. In a low-tech or no-tech society, power transitions into human power or animal power or sunlight power, you know, for drying clothes, or even gravity power, water wheels, things like that, or windmills, for example. There are many other sources of power, and even fire power from condensed energy and carbon in wood. So trees are actually concentrating power and making what you might call, you know, fuel cells, in a sense, low-tech fuel cells in the form of wood. And then this wood contains power that can be unleashed through burning. And we're going to have to really understand the dynamics of all these power sources as society collapses around us. Well, if we wish to survive, of course. Chapter seven is the role of stockpiling and understanding the limits of stockpiling, but also the advantages and what items are necessary to stockpile, and then understanding the lifetime limits or the lifespan limits of those items that you are stockpiling. For example, if you are buying, let's say, a solar generator, and it has a lithium battery bank that's internal, that lithium battery bank is only good for maybe 1,000 charge and discharge cycles, which means it's gone after, I don't know, a few years, depending on how you use it. So even if you stockpile things that can help you transition, many of those things will no longer function over time, depending on how severe the collapse becomes, okay? Then number eight, chapter eight, we're going to look at valuable skills and gear for a low-tech society. This is important for every person to have certain skills that they can contribute at a barter level to a local society in order to be able to continue to survive. So you might have a very highly specialized skill right now. Maybe you can write code. Maybe you're like a C++ programmer or something. Or, I don't know, Node.js or whatever. That skill is going to be worthless in a collapsed society. What would be a more worthwhile skill might be something like, you know, making holsters or repairing shoes or mending clothes. Or maybe you have blacksmith skills and you can forge metal tools out of, you know, iron and steel. So we're going to talk about the skills that are necessary to survive in a low-tech society and then how to develop those skills and how to strategically choose the skills that can help you the most during this entire process. Chapter 9 is sustainable living in the long term, what that looks like. So we're going to take a very close look at, if you fast forward 2 to 3 years or 5 years, depending on how severe the collapse becomes, yes, you're going to have a much lower population across the planet. That's for sure. You're going to have much less technology. You won't be able to have plastics and polymers and circuit boards and rubber gaskets and all these things that make current society function. You may not even have fuel refineries. It's hard to say exactly what's going to happen. But as you make this transition, you need to understand in advance what a sustainable life or a sustainable community or a sustainable family or a ranch, you know, looks like a few years from now, because it's a very labor-intensive survival scenario. Even if you're doing everything right, you're going to be extremely busy. There are going to be a lot of menial tasks. You're going to be really focused on food, a lot of food prep, food harvesting, saving seeds, and things like that. So I want to give you kind of a preview of what that looks like. And by the way, it looks a lot like farms or ranches in the mid-1800s in the United States, for example. So we can learn a lot from history. We're going to have to. And then, let's see, chapter 10 talks about high-tech, low-tech, and no-tech. We're going to go through a table in that case. We're going to look at every area of your life and how you're probably using high technology now and then how that needs to transition into a no-technology solution. So let me just give you one example. Currently, when we talk about recording information or archiving information, whether it's accounting or, I don't know, a diary or writing notes or what have you, you probably do it now on a computer. Most people do. You will probably now that's a high-tech solution, but transitioning to a low-tech solution, you might go to a typewriter. This might be something that was very common when you and I grew up before computers, right? We had typewriters. That's a low-tech solution, doesn't even require electricity. And then a no-tech solution is, well, paper and pencil, although even a pencil requires some technology to manufacture. So it might be kind of like an ink quill, you know? You might go all the way back to the 18th century on this, and you'll have like paper and a feather pen or something, who knows? Pencils do require technology to manufacture. So that's kind of the overview of what we're going to get into here. And you're going to find a lot of really great tidbits, a lot of survival information, a lot of tips. And most importantly, it's going to allow you to be able to look at your survival preps right now and find vulnerabilities. Because a lot of people they've engaged in preparedness and survival, but they're too reliant on high-tech solutions. And those are not going to last, very simply put. Okay, so with that said, Oh, and by the way, this book will be available eventually at resilientprepping.com. Okay, chapter one, let's just get right into the introduction here. Why resilient prepping? Why is this an important thing to get into? We're living in a time now where we're not just prepping for natural disasters. And I know, you know, there are hurricanes, there are earthquakes, there are volcanoes and all kinds of things, meteors. But the greatest threat to humanity right now comes from our own governments that are trying to mass murder humanity with the COVID spike protein bioweapon that's being administered through so-called vaccines. This is by far the greatest threat because it's a depopulation agenda that's being pursued by the governments of the world, pushed by these depopulation globalists. And they do plan to exterminate as many as 90% of the people currently living on the planet. So this means that prepping for that requires a completely different mindset than prepping for, you know, a hurricane or an ice storm or a two-week power outage. We're talking about the engineered collapse of society as we know it. So we've got to update our preparedness thinking to make sure that we are prepared at multiple layers as the government starts to weaponize and destroy each system that is keeping us alive, you know, the power grid. Government can weaponize it and take down the power grid. They can take down the food supply as they're doing on purpose. So beyond a natural disaster, it's the government disaster that is targeting humanity, and they will deliberately remove everything that most people need to keep their lives running. So we have to prepare to be more resilient and more self-reliant. Now, the second point here is that as you are prepared in this resilient way, you are harder to control by the government. They can't enslave you. They can't force you into a FEMA camp. Because if you run out of food and you have no food supplies, then eventually they're just going to say, probably on the media, hey, show up at your local FEMA center. We have food for you. Sure they do. And they have a spike protein injection for you too. Because their goal is to exterminate you. It's a mass murder campaign. So if you don't want to report to a FEMA camp, you need to have your own food supplies. You need to have all this multi-layer preparedness resiliency. And then finally, we need to survive all of this because we are the ones who are going to rebuild society. So we have an obligation to make it through this engineered collapse and this mass death. Our obligation is to future generations. We are the refounders of America. Oh, and the world. I'm not talking about just Americans, of course. So we've got to be able to make it through this. We've got to be able to raise the next generation, teach our children and grandchildren how to rebuild society. And we need to be here because, remember, the vaccines and all those people pushing the vaccines, well, many of them are going to die over the next several years because the spike protein is a biological weapon. So they're going to remove themselves from society, and they will remove themselves from the debates surrounding society, of course, by definition. They will be gone. And since most of those people are socialists and communists and Democrats, they will also remove their evil from the world. It's an interesting dynamic here. We're talking about the vaccine pushers who are, you know, who are the most evil people on our planet. You know, the fake news, so-called journalists, the bureaucrats, the Governor Cuomo's of the world, the Governor Newsom's of the world, and so on. The Australian lunatics there in New South Wales and Victoria and other states. They're removing themselves from the world. So there's going to be this new opportunity over time for those of us who haven't committed vaccine suicide to rebuild society and to do so on an important premise of individual liberty and limited government, something even beyond the original Bill of Rights or Constitution or even the Declaration of Independence. We need, for example, what Dr. Benjamin Rush had recommended in the Bill of Rights was a health freedom amendment. Maybe that would be the Third Amendment, right after freedom of speech and the Second Amendment, firearms rights for citizens. We should have a health freedom amendment that says no government can ever force you to take any injection against your will. No corporation can punish you for saying no to any vaccine or injection or medication or medical procedure or intervention of any kind. So there are many ways that as we rebuild society, we can improve and hopefully not make the same mistakes that we have now made on a society-wide basis that have led us to this this global situation where the governments of the world are incredibly evil and they are out of control and they are literally trying to mass murder the people. So we've got to be alive to be part of this conversation, obviously. We have to be alive in order to, you know, just in order to participate in that. Okay, let's see the next point here of why we need resilient prepping. Because now the attacks on humanity include these attacks on our health. The spike protein is a neurological weapon. It destroys the brain. It destroys the heart. So it's a cardiovascular weapon as well. It destroys fertility and causes spontaneous abortions. So where in the past we might have been prepping for natural disasters and thinking that, oh, you know, we have to survive like maybe a solar flare or an EMP attack that takes down the power grid. What we need to realize now is that many of the people we know, people in our local communities, family members perhaps, friends, will be either injured or dead because of the so-called vaccine. So now our preparedness plans have to consider care for the infirmed. How many people will have such strong cardiovascular damage that they won't be able to work on a farm? They won't be able to chop wood. They won't be able to engage in gardening because their heart function has been so damaged by the vaccine. So now we have to think about that extra burden of how do we care for these people who aren't yet dead? And then also, how do we function given all the people who will be dead? Again, perhaps many people that you know, people in your own family, in your own community. And along with that, we're going to lose the human resources that know how to run things in your local community. For example, how to run the local power plant, right? Or how to run the local meat processing facility, or how to repair tractors or vehicles or all these things. So a lot of those people took vaccines, which means a lot of those people are going to be dead or injured. And this has to change then our approach to resilient prepping so that we are really, you know, really ready to deal with all of that. Another point is that much of the prepping that has been achieved so far, or at least a lot of the prepping narratives, have focused on single source solutions, but not multiple layers of prepping. For example, you know, a water filter that you might have to pump. Well, the pump is going to require replacement parts, such as O-rings, for example. Well, where are you going to get O-rings when society collapses? So what about a gravity filter? What about being able to make your own water filter with charcoal that you make yourself and sand that you can find locally and things like that? So we've got to now expand the resiliency or the redundancy of our prepping to deal with the collapse of availability of parts. So there's more to the intro that we're going to get into in tomorrow's episode here on Brighteon.tv. This is, of course, the book Resilient Prepping, and we're just starting to get into it here today. I hope that you're learning some things already. You've got a lot of practical information lined up for you here. I want to encourage you to watch the other shows here on Brighteon.tv as well, because we have a lot of great guests and hosts, just fantastic information. So check out all the other episodes. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, the founder of Brighteon.tv. Thank you for watching today. We'll talk with you tomorrow.